Shumalechem.
So long ago. You remember where we left off? We're towards the bottom of Tess Amid Beis. Somewhere at Tess Amid Beis on the bottom, no?
The bookmark is on
Yod Amid Aleph. Bookmark is on Yud.
I missed your shiur in Israel.
Oh, you were in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, I was, but I was in Efrat, so I didn't get it.
Okay.
You gave it at the OU.
Yeah.
I went to see a dentist there.
Where are we up to? By Aza, yeah. We have about 10 lines from the top, but further. I don't know. I don't remember where we left off. Maybe we'll start from Yud Amud Aleph, the last narrow line. I probably don't remember. Tanya, Amar Rab Shimon HaChassid, Masech HaSaita, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, the last narrow line. We left off somewhere over there. Amar Rab Shimon HaChassid, he's a Tana. He says that Shimshon HaGibor was such a giant. Bank Seifov Shal Shimshon was Shishim Amahoya. There were 60 Amos. That's a Meiridik. Between one, the end of one shoulder and the other, is an Amo and a half. How wide can it be? So he claims that Shimshon HaGibor was such a giant, there were 60 Amos across. How does he come off to say such a statement? Shenemar. It says, Vayishkav Shimshon HaChatzi HaLaila. He went to sleep there with his Zainus, with his girlfriends there by the Plishtim. Vayakam HaChatzi HaLaila. He woke up at midnight. Vayachas Badal Shashar Hayerish Demesus Vayisoy Meim Abriach. And the city was locked. So he picked up the whole gates of the city, the whole thing, and he walked with the whole thing. And it was on his shoulders. Ugmirim, we have a tradition in the Eid and also Saza Pchusis Mishishimam. That was in the city Aza. And we have a tradition, a historical tradition, that the gate was 60 Amos wide. And he said, Vayasmak Seifav, he put the whole thing on his shoulders. A Pashup shot, he put the middle of the gate on the shoulders and it was sticking out to the right and to the left. So this Tana says, no, the whole gate was on his shoulders, and it's a raya that his shoulders were 60 amas across. He was an unusual giant, then he says. So the Pasuk says when they cut off his hair, he was a Nazir, Dalila kept on asking him, what does he attribute his strength to? So first he said one lie, then he said another lie. Finally he told her the truth. That was more discussed before. How did she know that he was telling the truth? So the Gemara had a whole discussion on Tess Amid Beis. I guess we must have seen it already. So the Gemara says when they finally cut off his hair and he violated the Naziris, so he lost all of his strength and then they blinded his both eyes. So it says that they had him in the prison and he was grinding flour. Tochein? They had him. They didn't have... Now we have an electrical machine. So you push a button and it grinds all of the flour. And so in the days of the Gemara, they used to have a water mill. The water of a river would flow and they would have a mill that would turn. That was one way. Or people would grind it by hand. So the simple reading of the Pasuk, Vahi tochem v'ves asurim, he was walking around in a circle, pulling a mill and grinding kernels of grain to make flour out of it. That's the Pashup Shat. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan has a tradition. That's not what it means. Ein trina l'loshan avera. He was being mizana with women. What does that mean? Every plishti wanted to have a baby who's going to be a giant, super powerful man like Shimshon HaGibor. So every married man from the plishtim took his wife, that she should have tashmish with Shimshon, and they'll have a baby who'll be a giant. Where does he come up to say that trina, the grind, trina in biblical Hebrew has the connotation of doing a maisa's nus v'chein ho'aymer? No, he found the pasuk titchan lach harishti. You see that Loshen Trin is used in Tanakh in the sense of having Tashmish. So what did the Plishtim do? Vahi toichem beveis asurim in the prison. They had him doing trinim alami. The Pasuk is telling us, shkol echad v'echad, each married Plishtim, hevi lo es ishto beveis asurim, yedei she tisabe emenu. Each one, they wanted him to make all the wives pregnant, that they should have giants as children. Amar apap, ahayna di amrinshi, that's an expression that people say, that if a person enjoys drinking wine, so he'll always, somehow it'll always turn out that he's going to have wine on the table. And if another person is a farmer and he always works in a garden and he always eats vegetables, so it'll always turn out there'll always be vegetables on his table. So this Shimshon HaGibor, apparently he had a very strong desire for women. So his punishment was that he had Tashmish every day with the Plishtim women. That's the way it turns out. That's the expression that people say, Kamer Deshasi Chamra, in front of the one who enjoys drinking wine, is always going to be Chamra. There'll always be some more wine. And Kamer Rafuka Gridya, one who always does work in a garden, he's working on vegetables, will always be Duvla. It'll always turn out that he'll have vegetables. So Shimshon HaGibor, that was his weakness, that was his soft spot. He always liked to have Tashmish. So that was his punishment in the prison, that the Plishtim had him have Tashmish with everyone's wife. The Yom Rabbi Yechanan, the Rabbi Yechanan Stam makes a comment. If you have a couple and the husband is a no-wife who's running around with other women, so you can bet your bottom dollar, Mistama, his wife is also going to be running around with other men. However, whatever type of a character the husband is, that's what type of a character the wife will probably be as well. Call Hamizane, if the husband is having extramarital affairs, Mistama Ishta Mizanen is Olav. Some of the wife is also having extramarital affairs. Shenemar. If I'm starting up with a woman, my next door neighbor's friend, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that my wife is going to be having extramarital affairs and she's going to cause other people's downfall. And that's the expression that people have about this. If the husband is eating cucumbers, so the wife is going to be eating pickles. Whatever kind of shtick the husband does, whatever kind of shady business the husband is in, so the wife is probably going to be doing about the same thing. Rashi says the kari butzini are the same vegetable, except that one is when it's tiny and one is when it's fully grown. So whatever shtick the husband is doing, so the wife is probably going to be involved in the same type of shtick, shady shtick. Who is this Shimshon? So in Tanakh it says he was one of the shoftim. Was he a good shofet? Was he a bad shofet? So you read the Tanakh, you get the impression he was terrible. He's always running around with these shiksas all the time. So the Rambam writes in the Hilchas Isuri Bia, all the laws of Gerus. He writes about the prohibition of intermarriage and how you can convert a non-Jew. And L'chatchila, you should only convert a non-Jewish person if their motivation to convert is l'shem shamayim. What if a non-Jew converted with a kabbalas on mitzvahs, but the motivation was not so pure? They wanted to convert because in Eretz Yisrael you can't get a good job in the army if you're going to be an Arab. Or you can't be elected to Knesset. You can't get a good position in the government if you're an Arab. So he wants to convert in order to get better parnos. So but let's say he is megayer and he's mekabel on mitzvahs. He wasn't religiously motivated. What triggered him off, what made him interested in the first place, was not that he's searching for the true religion. He knows that in Eretz Yisrael, he got to be Jewish, otherwise he can't get ahead. But Lemaisa, he was Mekabel al Mitzvah. So that's a Machlekes HaTanaim, the end of the second parak in Yevamos. That's called Geri Arayis. In Tanakh, you have Geri Arayis. The Kusim were attacked by lions in Eretz Yisrael. And because they're being attacked, they didn't know what to make of it. So they decided probably the God of Eretz Yisrael is the God of the Jewish people. They believed in multiple gods, and each country has a different God. So the God of Eretz Yisrael is the Jewish God, so they better convert to become Jewish. So they converted, but they were still worshipping Avodah Zarah. So there was no Kabbalah on Mitzvah. So the story in Tanakh that tells about the Kusim who are Geri Arayis, they were converted because of the Pachad of the lions, and there was no Kabbalah on Mitzvah. So their Geris was absolutely meaningless. But the Gemara has a Machlokes. What if a non-Jew is being attacked by lions and he decides he's going to convert, and he converts Ali B'de Emes? He was not religiously motivated to convert, But lemaisa, he does mekabel all mitzvahs and he keeps the mitzvahs. He does observe the mitzvahs. So is that conversion valid? So that's a machlekes ha-tanaim. The Gemara says yes. We pass like the Tana Reb Nechemia in the end of the second paragraph. Yevamos kulam gerim gerurim heim, that the geris is valid. Lichatchila, it's not proper to accept such a ger because he's not religiously motivated. He's not a ger tzedek. All the mitzvahs in the Torah b'haftem is a ger. You have to go out of your way to be mechabed the ger and to give him a break and so on and so forth. That's only if he's a ger tzedek. Ger tzedek means he was religiously motivated. He was searching for the true religion. He wants to marry a Jewish girl, or she wants to marry a Jewish boy, and that's what motivates her to become Jewish, and she converts, but she keeps the mitzvahs. That's a ger, but it's not called a ger tzedek. So the mitzvahs of haftamas ager don't apply. So we paskin that the geris is valid, but lechatchili shouldn't accept such a ger, should only accept a ger tzedek. But yeva, the geris is good. In recent years, the paskin was saying, the last 150 years, that what are we going to say? We're not going to accept such a ger. We don't accept a ger. He'll go to the reform, and they'll convert him. They'll be happy to converting him. And the geris won't be meaningful at all. There won't even be any kabbalas on mitzvah. So you're going to have a couple. We'll be intermarried. The geris won't be a valid geris. So it doesn't help if the Orthodox rabbis are going to put their foot down. We're going to say, we're not going to be megarid them. And they'll just go, they'll find another, they'll find an Orthodox rabbi. They'll find a conservative rabbi. They'll find someone of anyone. It's not going to help if we're going to put our foot down. So that's what many of the poskim in the last 150 years, Chaim Moser wrote a tshuva, he quotes up Shlomo Kluger and others like that. In recent years, if the non-Jew who's converting is prepared to observe the mitzvahs, even though he was not religiously motivated, so we would do the geris. So the Rambam writes in that section, Hilchas Geris and Hilchas Yisuri Bim, when he talks about intermarriage, and he says if the non-Jew converts, so it's a ger, then you may marry him. So he says, Al Yala Al Adas, it shouldn't occur to anyone that Shimshon was intermarried with these, that's the way it sounds from Tanakh. He was always sleeping with these non-Jewish girls. So he says, no, Shimshon was Megayer them, and they were Jewish. So why does the Tanakh write it like he was sleeping with Shiksis? So we had the Gemara on the previous daf. The first girl he slept with was Taka, he didn't even marry her. He did marry her. And the second one, he didn't marry her. That was Mamish Deros Nus. That was a Kilkel. So the Rambam says, no, all the girls were converted. The Rambam quotes Midrash, all the girls were converted. But because they weren't Geri Hatzedek, they weren't religiously motivated when they converted, so that's why the Tanakh depicts him as if he's living with the Plishti women. But it's really not so.
Every girl with Shlomo Melech?
He writes about Shlomo HaMelech also, yeah. He writes the same about Shlomo HaMelech. Yeah. So the question is, how good a shofet was Shimshon HaGibbe? He's listed off in Tanakh as one of the shoftim. So the Gemara says he was Moira de Gevaldik. The Omer Rabbi Yechon has a tradition. Shimshon Donis Yisrael Ki Aviyim Shabashamai. He was such a good shofet like the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself. Shenema. Don Yodin Amo Ki Achad Shifte Yisrael. That's the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gives to each one of the Shvatim before he dies. So he says that Don is going to have a leader. One of the Shoftim, one of the leaders of the Jewish people is going to come from Sheva Don. Who was the one? That was B'machane Don. The Pasuk says, V'tolcha Ruach Hashem Lefam here on the bottom of Tesam Abeis, the Gemara quotes the Pesukim. V'tolcha Ruach Hashem Lefam Ben Tzor Avesh Tov B'machane Don. That Shimshon was from Shevedon. His father was from Shevedon. Bidon. Yeah. So that's what Yaakov Avinu says. Don Yod Nama Keachad Shifte Yisrael. So Rabbi Yechanan has a tradition that you read it. Don Yod Nama Keechod. Don means Shimshon Agibo, who comes from Shevedon, was judging Bnei Yisrael. He was such a good shofet, like the Echod Miyuchod, like the Rabbanu Shel Olam himself. He was a very fair shofet. He functioned as a very good shofet. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Shimshon, what kind of a name is Shimshon? Al Shmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra. The name means that it's like he reflects the greatness of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. What does the Rabbanu Shel Olam have to do with the sun? Shimshon has to do with the sun. Shenema, Ki Shemesh Imogen Hashem Elokim. The Pasuk in Tehillim describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a question, what does that mean? Shemesh Imogen Hashem Elokim. Balatanya has a whole mimer on this Pasuk. Says Shemesh, the sun gives off rays. If you would be in front of the sun, we would burn up. So you have to have a mogain. You have to have something to protect us, that you have clouds to shield us, that the sun's rays shouldn't burn us up alive. So Hashem Elokim are two different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yudkei Vavkei is the real name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's like Shemesh. And the Shem Elokim is Teva. So that's what protects us, that we cannot have the full Hispashtos of Elokus in this world. We wouldn't be able to be saved for that. So the Pasuk describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Shemesh and Mogen. Yudkei Vavkei is the Shemesh, and Elokim is the Mogen. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sometimes referred to in Tehillim as Shemesh, so Shimshon HaGibah's name was Shimshon al Shem HaShemesh, because he was such a good Shofei Kechud, like the Rabban Shalom himself. That Shemesh is Shmosh al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shimshon al Shmosh al HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra. The name Shemesh is the name of Hashem, and Shimshon's name is al Shem HaShemesh. If that's so, lo yimocheh. So you're not allowed to erase the name Shimshon? Well, if you have the word Shemesh written, it's a reference to the Baruch Shalom, you're not allowed to erase it. That's Shmosh al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come on, that's not Shmosh al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zag Digmar, no, we didn't mean like that. Shimshon al Shmosh al HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra. There is Zayin Shemesh in the Mechakim. Shemesh is not one of the seven names. Shemesh is a description of what the Rabbanu Shalom does. He gives Hashpoah. He gives so much Hashpoah that we can't even take so much. We need a Mogin. We need a Lekim to protect us. El Digmar says not that the name Shemesh is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a Braisa Masech HaShvuas. And it's quoted in Yoreh Day in Hilchos Sefer Torah, where they list off the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Keil, Elikim, Tzvoka, Shakai, these are all names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shemesh is not one of them. Eli Gemara says, what Rabbi Yechon meant to say was, Me'ein Shmosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a description of what the Rabban Shalom does, like Rachman Chan and Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed Emes. That's not a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a kinui. That's a description of the activities of the Rabban Shalom. So just like so what do you mean me ain't Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Megan Al Kolam Kuloi, just like the Rabban Shalom takes care of the whole world, he takes care of everybody's needs. Av Shimshon Megan Medor Al Yisro, Shimshon Agiba was a wonderful shofei, and he was marvelous. And just like the Rabban Shalom, he too took care of all the Jewish people. Then the Gemara has another comment about Shimshon. Says they poked out his eyes. Yeah, Tanakh it doesn't say no. Right. Yeah. Sounds like a wild man. Tanakh sounds like a wild man. So our tradition has it he was a marvelous shofet, and we had the Gemara before. I think we learned it that he says he never misused his authority. The Gemara says in the first perek in Chagiga, Gemara quotes a pasuk that Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yirmi, I think, that the Rabbanu Shalom sheds three tears every day, not to be taken literally. Rabban Shalom is upset about three different things. So two of the three tiers are the people who are misplaced in their profession. A person belonged in learning and again he went to a different field. A person who didn't belong in learning went into the rabbinate and went into the chinuch. And it's a tragedy. The Rabban Shalom sheds a tear on him, he sheds a tear on him about the misplaced persons. And then the third tier, the Gemara says, is on the Parnas HaMizgoa Al HaTzibur. The person, why did they appoint him to be the president of the Kehillah? Why did they appoint him to be the head of this organization? Some organization, because he was a good skite, he was a sweetie pie, he was a wonderful person, he raised shemayim, and so on and so forth. And once he gets into power, then power corrupts. And he does things just to keep himself in office, and everything in the world revolves about him. So that's a terrible tragedy that the Rabban Shalom sheds tears on every day. So the Gemara says before about Shimshon HaGibah, he was about the eighth line from the top. But he says, when Shimshon was praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Am Shimshon lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rabbanu Shalom, Mizchor li esrim shana sheshafateti es Yisrael. He was a shofet for 20 years or for 22 years. Two girsas in the Gemara, whether it says 20 or 22. And he says, I never misused my authority. I never asked anybody to carry a shtekin for me. I always did all the work on my own. I never asked anybody for any favors. He never misused his... He was not a parnas hamizgoa latzibur. That's always a problem. It's a problem by Rabbanim also. A Rebbe in a yeshiva. He says the whole pilpul, and he thinks he's God's gift to the world. And then he comes five blocks later, he says the whole pilpul is all wrong. So is he going to be moidal em? Is he going to admit to all the students that he made a mistake? Or is he going to cover up? He'll start saying, another pilpul. Why? It's not a contradiction to him. So most will cover up. or a rabbi paskin shaila, a rabbi paskin shaila. Then he realized he made a mistake. So instead of admitting that he made a mistake, his grandeur goes to his head. It becomes a big bugger. He's not going to admit that he made a mistake. So he'll cover up and say, no, that's a different din. There's a different din. You have to be prepared to be moedal emes, that the power corrupts by everybody. Rav Soloveitchik told the story about Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, his grandfather, married the granddaughter of the Netziv. So the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin for the last 39 years, of the 90 years that Volozhin lasted. So Rav Chaim was appointed to give shiurim in the yeshiva. So the people were complaining, nepotism. He doesn't know how to learn. He said a very different style. Now in all the yeshivas, everybody learns Rav Chaim, even the Chassidish yeshivas, everybody learns Rav Chaim's derech and learning. But at that time, many of the people didn't like Rav Chaim's derech. Rav Kook learned in Volozhin. He went to the Netziv shiurim and didn't go to Rav Chaim's shiurim. The Netziv said shiur 3 days a week. Rav Chaim said shiur 3 days a week on the next three blot. Every day they covered a daf yomi. They covered up not the daf yomi that the Rav Meir Shapira instituted, that the Aguda is learning, but whatever mesichta they're learning in the yeshiva. So each one gave a shiur approximately on three blot, and the next 3 days, the next one gave a shiur. I don't know how they blended in to such a different style. And then Shabbos day with Chazan. And the next week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, one gave a shiur. And Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the next one gave the shiur. So there were rumblings in the yeshiva that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was not roi to give a shiur, and he was only appointed because he married the Rosh Yeshiva's granddaughter. So the members of the board had a meeting. The members of the board were the alumni who were prominent rabbonim in Europe in prominent positions. Rav Soloveitchik said over the names of all the rabbonim, I forgot about you all the names, prominent big rabbonim. So they decided they're going to come to the yeshiva and they'll ask this young man to give a shiur. And they'll decide whether he's Roy Lakach is not Roy Lakach. So Rav Chaim got up and he said a shiur. In the middle of the shiur, he realized he's coming to Farem for a difficult Rambam. Middle of the shiur, he realized that his whole teretz is wrong. There's some favor from the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis, not in the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. Favor from the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis in a different Masichta. The Rav said it's in Sanhedrin. He was giving a shiur on Yevamos, and he said there was a Pirush HaMishnayis in Sanhedrin that contradicted what he wanted to say. So in the middle of the shiur, this was the shiur that's going to make or break him, whether the members of the board will be satisfied. So he said, I apologize, I made a mistake, the shtickle Torah is wrong. And he sat down. So the members of the board decided that this man is right to give a shiur. He's prepared to admit in public that he made a mistake, and he's not going to cover up. I imagine I would have covered up. I don't think I would be so honest. Most people would not be so honest. That's a problem by anyone who is pointed to a position of a power. So power always corrupts. It goes to people's heads, and they're not prepared to admit that they made a mistake.
I always heard the Rav say that all these rabbanim, like when they're in the yeshiva, there's always somebody who knew something more than they did. So they're, nothing. Like once they went out, something like that, they were this top guy.
That goes to their head. Yeah.
The Rav. Chazanish went to hear a shiur from Chaim once. Chazanish went and Chaim got a. Chazanish asked him from an offer mission some place.
That's Rav Bitzel Panavizhe. Rav Bitzel Panavizhe was giving a shiur in part of his yeshiva. In Europe, in part of his yeshiva, he was giving a shiur on Kiddushin. They have it printed. So he was giving. I thought Pshat and the Gemara was like Rabbi Tzela Panavizhe said. After 6 years of being an Eved Ivri, so he goes free. What if he says, I want to stay on? So then, it bore a hole, and then he remains an Eved Ivri till Yovel. Ad Oilam. Ad Yovel. So the Gemara says, Oma Yoimar, Ach Yoimar Vishna. He has to say twice, Oma Yoimar. Then the Gemara sounds like it says, I could have sworn that's what it says in the Gemara also. So Rabbi Tzela Panavizhe was giving a shiur, and he assumed that this is pshat, simple pshat in the Gemara. He has to say the last minute of the sixth year. He has to say the first Amir, Ahavtias Adonai Sishtav Izbana, he has to say it when he still has a Shabbat Putah's worth of work left. Let's say, every Eved Ivri is sold on a different day of the year. Whenever you buy an Eved Ivri, whatever day it happens to be. So the six, let's say I bought an Eved Ivri on Zayin Adar. So at the end of 6 years on Vav Adar, that's going to be the end of the sixth year. When it comes Tzeis HaKachavim, it becomes Zayin Adar. That's already the beginning of the seventh year. So the seventh year itch, so he goes free. The end of the 6 year, so he goes free. So the Gemara says, Mama Yamah Eved, the Eved Ivri has to say twice. He has to say towards an hour before Shkia. On Vav Adar, he has to say in front of the Bezin, I don't want to go free, I want to remain. And then he has to repeat it when there's less than a Shavar Puta worth of work left to do. That's the Pasha Peshat in the Gemara. So the Chazon Ish took a Gemara Psachim. At the end of Psachim, you have Shkolim printed. And the Mishnah says, in Shkolim, Be'echad Be'odar, Roitzim Esavadim. They make the hole, the minig was that once a year, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, they would make the holes in the Eved Zia. Everybody brought in, everybody who has an Eved Ibi bought him on the last day of Shvat. So everybody bought him on Echad Be'odar. Everybody buys an Eved Ibi, a different day of the year. How can it be that Be'echad Be'odar? So you see that it's not true. So he was so upset. Why Rabbi Tzela Panovich said he just took a Gemara Shkolim and back up Sochim. He walked up to the front. Everybody was sitting. Rabbi Tzela was standing by a shtender. So he took the Gemara Shkolim and he put it on the shtender and he pointed to the Mishnah and he walked out. And he didn't want to come back. And he said that this time I caught him, it's an offen Mishnah. Next time he may make a mistake and I won't know that it's an offen Gemara somewhere. So he says he can't learn the Ampanovich. Now he wanted to learn Barab Chaim. He went to Brisk. But he wanted to be Nizam and Chodosh, and Yoshim wasn't available at Brisk, so he left because of that. The Chazon Ish basically learned on his own. Yeah, that's a big problem. That's a big problem by Rabbanan. Parnas Hamis Goal Atziba. A rabbi goes out to the position, and he's head and shoulders above all the Balabatim. That's a chayin that he's Moshe Rabbeinu. He thinks that he's the God Lador. So he's not prepared to admit that he made a mistake. You have a Nigmar. Every so often, the Amoraim would say, Rove. Others would say, Dvarim Shamarta Bifnechm Tosheim Biyadi. He would get up and say, I made a mistake, and the halacha is not so. You have even sometimes in the Gemara that Rava backed out twice. He said a psak, and then after 5 years he said, I made a mistake, and after 5 years he said, the second psak was also a mistake. He backed out twice. That's unusual. That's unusual. Okay. No. The first time he developed the sheet, no. Here he chapped the Rabbi Tzela Panovich and often a source. Rabbi thinks the din should be like this, and then like 5 years later he thought it over. He thinks the din should be no rais fakert, and the tias hadas. They changed his mind. Now Soloveitchik was yodua about that. He would give a shiur. Then a couple of months later, a month later, he would come. He says, "I think I made a mistake," and he would back out and give a whole different mahalach. He wasn't embarrassed to admit that he made a mistake.
Change back
every so often. He would come up with a new chiddush. Nusach should be like this. Nusach should be like that. Yeah.
About the tears that Hashem says, doesn't it say somewhere else that when there's a divorce or something, Hashem?
Right. The last Gemara in Gittin, the Gemara quotes Megarish Ishta Rishayna Hamizbech. Afila Hamizbech married all of the Mos. The Mizbech is used to seeing a lot of blood shed. They're killing animals there every day. A lot of animals every day. So you would have thought that the Mizbech wouldn't be crying about anything. But if a couple gets divorced, it's a Ishta Vishayda, it's the first wife, then Afila HaMizbech married all of the months. Even the Mizbech that's so used to seeing blood shed, so even the Mizbech is going to cry. Yeah, but here the Gemara talks about the Ribbono Shel Olam crying. This Pasuk in Yirmiyah that the Gemara quotes in the first paragraph in Chagiga, this is the Ribbono Shel Olam is crying. We can't see it. When we look at the world, it looks like the Ribbono Shel Olam thinks doesn't have any comment on anything. You have Tzadik V'Ra'lo, Rasha V'Tovlo, all the terrible things happening in the world. And Ribbono Shel Olam never says anything about it. He lets everything go. But the Gemara says, B'mistorim Tivkei Nafshi. In the Bote Gavoy, in the inner chambers where we can't see it, that's where the Ribbono Shel Olam is crying. He's really not happy about all the terrible things that are happening. Hod V'Hod Olafon, Avoyz V'Ched V'Bimkom, and this cheerfulness and simcha. It looks as if ein atzus lefnei amakim. There's no sadness at all. But the truth of the matter is, Ribbono Shel Olam is very upset. He's very sad. We can't see it. The Chacham had a tradition that he's not happy about all the terrible tragedies that occur in the world. So the pasuk says that they blinded Shimshon. What else did they do to Shimshon? So the Gemara says, V'yom Rabbi Yochanan. These are all the traditions of Rabbi Yochanan about the story in Shoftim. Bilam was limping on one foot. Shenema vayelach shefi. Shefi means he was missing a leg. Shimshon was a chigah b'shtei raglav. They cut off both of his legs. They cut out both of his eyes and they cut off both of his legs. Shenema shvifon aleyach. What?
Chigah means that they cut off.
Well, limping. And he broke his leg. Yeah. Could be crippled. Yeah. That's when he became lame. I don't think so. I think the Gemara assumed that he was a cripple before that. I think it was before that. So Rabbi Yochanan claims that just like Shefi over there means he was limping on one leg, here it says when Yaakov Avinu gave the brachas to Don Yod Nama Kachat Shifti Yisrael, that bracha was referring to Shimshon HaGibor, and then the pasuk continues, the manik from Don will be a Shvifon Aliyor. Shvifon means like a snake, that he'll be successful in killing all the enemies. But the Gemara says just like Shefi means that he was limping on one leg, so Shimshon was limping on both legs. Just like they blinded him, so he broke his both legs. Then the Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan. Normal people have normal hair and normal strength and normal looks and normal legs and normal arms and everything. So the Gemara says there are five biblical characters. Chamisha nivru me'ein dugma shal maila. There were five biblical people who had very unusual characteristics, not the average, well above average. It doesn't mean Dugma Shal Maila, Baruch Shalom doesn't have long hair. It just means above average. That's how Rashi writes. There were five people who had very much, how does Rashi say? Me'ein Dugma Shal Maila, nishtanam min ha-tachtonim l'tiferes. They were unusual, not standard, in a beautiful way. Who were the five? Shimshon Bekocho. Shimshon was, in the beginning, for so many years, was unusually powerful. Shaul B'Tzavar, he had a beautiful neck, unusual beautiful neck, long neck, tall, because it says he was Mishich from Vamayla Gavoy Mikol Homs, apparently had a very tall neck. Avshalom had very beautiful hair, he had long hair. That was his downfall. He got caught in the hair, in the branch of the tree, and they killed him. Tzidkiyo B'Einov, Rashi says this he doesn't know. Lo yadayna min olam dinishtana l'shvach. Rashi says he doesn't know what the source is, and the Gemara doesn't tell you. Where does it say Tzidkiyahu had very beautiful eyes and also had? Right, the Gemara just proves from the Tanakh that they were punished. They were punished. Tzidkiyahu was punished by his eyes and also was punished in his legs. But the Gemara never proves from any pasuk in Tanakh that he had unusual eyes and that also had unusual legs. So that somehow Rabbi Yechanan assumes that. Tzidkiyahu was Be'enov, he had unusually good looking eyes and also had Biraglov. So the Gemara says, and each one of them was punished because they misused it, they acted improperly. So each one of them was punished in that thing that was unusual for him. So Shimshon b'kochadichsiv ayosa kochom me'olov. When he told Dalila that his strength is because he's a Nazir and he didn't shave his hair, so then that's what she did right away. She cut off his hair and then he lost his whole strength. Shaul b'tzavoro. Shaul was very good looking and was very tall. Meshich mavamayel gavoy mikol ha'am. And then he was punished with the neck. Shaul was afraid the Plishtim were going to torture him to death. There's a din you're not allowed to commit suicide, but the Medrash says on that pasuk in Parshas Noach, Achaz dimchem nafshisech medrash. A person shevich dam ha'adam adam dami shevich. He's not allowed to kill someone else. Then it says achaz dimchem nafshisech medrash. A person is not allowed to commit suicide either. So usually when it says ach or rak, ach and verakem amiyutim. So all the midrashim say on that pasuk, ach is dimchem nafshisech medrash. You're not allowed to commit suicide, but ach is a miyut. Sometimes it is permissible. When is it a heter to commit suicide? So the medrash says yochel kishol, even like shaul amelech, that he commits suicide in order to spare himself from the torture that the Plishtim are going to give him. The Tamalai Ma'achid says that it's mutter. That's a shad that we paskin like that medrash. It's a medrash rabba and many other medrashim have on our post. So the Beis Yosef in Yeriday is simin kuf nun zayin. Simin abat yoharik bal yavar. So the Beis Yosef in Yeriday doesn't quote it in the original Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef is a commentary by Rabbi Yosef Karo on the tour. So in the Beis Yosef he doesn't take any stand on this. In the later edition, the second edition of the Beis Yosef, he added Hoysophis that it called Bedek HaBayis. The Sefer is called Beis Yosef, so Bedek HaBayis is to fix up the mistakes in the Beis Yosef. So it doesn't back out from anything. Usually Bedek HaBayis, it just adds on another source or two here and there. Every three pages there's something. The old Beis Yosef is usually written in Rashi script, and whenever there's something added in the Bedek HaBayis in the second edition, it's in bold square letters. Instead of being in plain Rashi script, it's in bold block letters. So the Bedek HaBayis and Simen Kuf Nun Zayin, he quotes these midrashim as if to imply that that's the din. So that's all machlekes and achrayim. Do we really paskin like these midrashim? The Beis Yosef quoted it in the Bedek HaBayis to imply we should paskin like that. Let's say during the war by the Nazis or Let's say someone's in the Israeli army and he's afraid he's going to be captured by the enemy. So if he's afraid he's going to be captured, then they're going to torture him until he's going to reveal secrets. They're going to be detrimental to the whole war effort. So then, of course, you're allowed to commit suicide. That's part of the war effort. There's no Easter. How do you send soldiers into battle? The first soldiers, the first battalion of soldiers is going to go in. Are all going to get killed? The rive is, the likelihood is they're all going to get killed. So they should say, we're not allowed to go. It's a suffix sakonas nefesh. The answer is, that's the heter of milchama. What's the heter to kill the enemy? There's a din of loisirtzach on the nochram also. So what's the heter to kill the enemy? What's the heter to put your soldiers in sakonah? So that's the din hilchus milchama. Everything is different. So let's say in the middle of a war. Okay, that's even not in the context of war. If someone is a raidef, yeah. But let's say there's a war not to protect the Jewish people from being killed. We're not afraid terrorists are going to kill the Jewish people. Let's say the Arabs just want to take over the Medina. They want to convert it. It should no longer be part of Medina Sisol. It should be part of Saudi Arabia, part of Jordan, whatever border is on Eretz Yisrael. So that's also a heter mechamah. That's also Mechemes Mitzvah. You're mechuyif to go to war. Even if no Jewish lives are in danger, they just want to take away part of Eretz Yisrael. In America also, let's say, Canadian government decides they want to take over Wisconsin. Oh, what borders on Canada? Niagara Falls.
Michigan,
okay. They don't want to kill anybody. They're just, instead of having 50 states, we should have 49 states. They want to take over some of the cities on the border. So you can't say the American government is mechuyif to go, I'm mechemes mitzvah, you're mechuyif to go to war. You're not mechuyif, you can close down shop on the whole United States of America if you want to. You can let it all become absorbed in Canada. But if the American government doesn't want to let Canada take over, so they're permitted. It's a mechemes rishus, they're permitted to go to war. When Britain went to war over the Falkland Islands, who wanted to take over? I forgot.
Argentina.
I forgot about it.
So
what? No one's life was put to sakana. Just they didn't want it to be under the sovereignty of the British Empire. They wanted Argentina wanted to take it over. So the din is that you can't say there's a mechemes mitzvah. The British are mechuyif to go to war. Not mechuyif. If they want, they can give over the whole England. With all of the Commonwealth, they give the whole thing over to Argentina if they want. But if they want to remain England, so they're permitted to go to war. So by us, that's a mechemes mitzvah. We're mechuyif to. If the Nochrim want to take away part of what's under the sovereignty of Medina Israel, we're mechuyif to go to war on that. So mechuyif to go to war, or even if you have a reshus to go to war, so all the dinim of Ritzicha and Sakona, all the dinim are different. You have to do whatever is in the best interest of the war effort. So let's say a soldier is afraid that he's going to be captured by the enemy, and then they're going to torture him until he's going to reveal, he won't be able to control himself, he's going to reveal secrets about the war effort, which may be detrimental to the whole war. So then for sure he's allowed to commit suicide. There's not a shaylah in committing suicide. How's he allowed to put his life in sakana? How are you allowed to act in the army b'chlal? How are you allowed to shoot the enemy? That's the het melchana. So all the dinim are different. Same thing, let's say, in the army, someone throws a hand grenade. And these people, all the soldiers' lives are besakana. And one soldier jumps on top of the hand grenade, it kills him, and he saved the lives of all of the others. And if he wouldn't have jumped on the hand grenade, let's say he wouldn't have been besakana. So is he allowed to kill himself? Is he allowed, b'kumma say, to jump on top of the hand grenade? He should kill himself in order to save the others. So if it wouldn't be in the context of Mohammed, it would probably not be permitted to do it. My chaz is the dama de tu sumach tveg, dima dama de doch sumach tveg. Why are you not allowed to commit suicide in order to save the lives of the other people? But in the context of Mohammed, so you have to, you're obligated, you're permitted and obligated to do whatever is in the best interest of the war effort. So if you're going to save more lives and more soldiers like that, so that's certainly permissible.
He got killed because he had to do Kiddush Hashem, no?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but it's only in Melchama. If it wouldn't be in Melchama, let's say a person wants to give up his life in order to save someone else's life, probably not allowed to. I'll be pashtus, he's not allowed to. If it's in the context of Melchama, then you're allowed to. So that's the shaila. So if a person is going to commit suicide because he's a soldier in the army, he's afraid that the enemy is going to capture him and they're going to torture him till he's going to reveal secrets. So that's part of the war effort. So they have a cyanide pill, so they tell him to take the pill. But let's say it's not the situation in the middle of a milchama. So is a person permitted to commit suicide in order to save himself from big suffering later? He knows the enemy is going to torture him to death. But they're going to torture him to death next week, and he'll live another week. So is he permitted to commit suicide today in order to spare himself the suffering from torture? The Beis Yosef in the Berak HaBayis quotes this medrash on the pasuk that Shol did kedin. And many of the later pasukim are not so convinced that we should follow that medrash, because the Gemara never says it. It appears in many midrashim, ach is dimcha nash zechem ach, that there are exceptions to the rule that in case of Shol it would be mutter. But that's the machleg, is what they be passing like that.
So the
Tanakh just says he did it. And the Medrash says that it's mutter. So that's the Shabbat. We passing like that Medrash.
What happened with his neck? He decapitated himself?
Yeah, he tried to commit suicide by jumping on his sword.
I mean, the context of it not being a war, a person is not allowed to give up his life even to save many, many others.
The Pashtus is not allowed to. It's questionable,
If you send out to fight, every line is makrifet et atzmo. The whole group.
Right.
The whole 30 boys. It is not only a yechid.
Yeah, in Mocham, everybody's life is besakana. So Mocham, everything is different.
Would that apply also to Gmar al Das? It could be conversion?
We see that they did it throughout all the generations. Yeah, people committed suicide, and they killed not only suicide, they killed the children. They said a brach ala shchita, shikasham zosar ala shchita, and they killed the children. The Das Kenan Bali Ataisus on Chumash on the end of Parshas Nach quote that. So many gedolim were opposed. Who gave them the right to kill the children? The Medrash says to commit suicide. That's one thing, but to do ritzicha also to prevent them from being forced into converting to another religion.
That's
they committed suicide, not to sin. See, suicide, the Minchas Chinuch writes a chiddush, but many poskim accept it. He thinks suicide is not the same as loisir tzach. To kill someone else, that's called shpichas davim, and yechayv misa. Suicide, you're not chayv misa. Sounds a little funny. Chayv misa b'day shamayim. No, he says it'll happen afkamina. Let's say I shoot an arrow to kill someone, and while the arrow is flying, zorak chetz in the korosh yirayim. I tear some silk clothing as the arrow is shooting. So the Gemara says, kam lebi derab minei, that I don't have to pay, since I'm chayv misa, for killing the person, and this was all chad misa, was all the same pu'ula, so I don't have to pay as an Adma Mazik. So what if a person is in the act of committing suicide, and as he's busy committing suicide, he tears someone else's clothing? Koreshi Raim. Would you say Kom Lebe De Rabbini? So we pass can Kom Lebe De Rabbini is only if Yechayv Misa and Momen, Yechayv Malkus and Momen, Yechayv Misa and Malkus. But if Yechayv Misa B'dei Shamayim and Momen, so we don't pass can. One Tana from the Chunya Ben Akona says that if Yechayv Koreshi, if you chayv koris in moments, so koris also makes kam lebi the rabbi. And the Gemara says a machlokes abay v'rove within Rav Nachman Yemer Akone. Would Rav Nachman Yemer Akone say the same by misa b'day shemayim? All right, so that's if you would have held like Rav Nachman Yemer Akone, maybe misa b'day shemayim would also make kam lebi the rabbi. But we don't pasken like Rav Nachman Yemer Akone. We pasken that koris does not. The Mishnah says asorv kedisha shel chaver b'shabbos. If I burn down your barn on Shabbos, potami tashlumim pnei shemischay b'nafsho. I burned down a barn, I did Havara. Havara is one of the 39 melachos. I'm chayv misa. And even if I burned it down, b'shoigeg, b'li hasra, b'li edim, you still say, kam lebi dirab minei. So the Mishnah says, ma'asheini came b'yom ha-kippurim. If I burn down your barn on Yom Kippur, I'm not chayv kores, I'm not chayv misa, so there's no kam lebi dirab minei. So Reb Nachman Ben Akana Hayaisus Yom Kippurim Kishabbos. He doesn't agree with the Mishnah. Chum Yarakan is a Tana. He doesn't agree. Reb Nachman Ben Akana Hayaisus Yom Kippurim Kishabbos. As far as he's concerned, a serve condition shall chaver be Yom Kippurim is also come by the Rab Mine, because Kar is also patas from Mammon. And the Gemara has a machlokes Abai v'Rav in the third Berak in Ksubas. What would Reb Nachman Ben Akana say? Whether Misa B'dei Shamayim patas from Mammon? But it's irrelevant because we're not passing like Reb Nachman Ben Akana. So that's the shad of the Menchas Chinuch, says the Chiddush. When one commits suicide, says Achaz Dimchel Nafshis Sechem Edrosh. The term Edrosh is a technical term, usually means Misa B'dei Shamayim. What do you mean? The guy committed suicide. What do you mean? It's Chai Misa B'dei Shamayim. When he comes to heaven, they'll give him some kind of punishment already. He's already dead. He committed. If he attempted suicide, he didn't do it yet. That's only an attempted out there. So the Menchas Chinuch says L'chapan Afkamina V'kam Lebi D'Rabin. If the person is a commit suicide, and while he's in the act of doing the suicide, he's mazik someone else's mammon, so he will be chayv to pay the mammon, I gestorben, so the yorshim will have to pay from the estate will have to pay for the hezek. Mashenikain, if I kill someone else, then you say, come lebi derabine. So once you declare like that, not everybody agrees with the Menchas Chinuch, but many poskim quoted la aloche. Once you say like the Menchas Chinuch, so it could well be that the din of Yehareg Val Yavar, that you have to give up your life in order not to violate the Gimel Averis HaChamuris, that's only Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, and Shvichas Damim. Shvichas Damim means to kill someone else. What if I'm committing suicide for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh? How is that possible? Suicide for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh. It could be that that's what this din is. The Rasham Rishayim say that it's considered Pikuach Nefesh, not, let's say I have to eat treifas in order to save my life. I have to eat on Yom Kippur in order to save my life. I have to eat chametz on Pesach. I have to drive to the hospital on Shabbos because I need some surgery to save my life. So Pekuach Nefesh is Dech HaShabbos, is Dech HaChametz, is Dech HaMacholos Asuris, Dech Yom Kippur, is Dech HaKol HaTarkul. It's not Dech HaShvichas Domin. So some Rishonim say, not only is Pekuach Nefesh to save your life, called Pekuach Nefesh, if the person is going, knows he's going to suffer extreme pain, extreme suffering, they're going to torture him. So extreme torture is also considered pikuach nefesh. Some say it's even better than pikuach nefesh. The Gemara says Chanan Mishal Bazaria were prepared to give up their lives. So the Gemara says because they didn't want to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says El Mole Nogduhu the Chanan Mishal Bazaria, if they would have tortured them, have a palchal etzloma. They would have worshipped the tzelem that Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to. So the simple pshat. So we today would interpret the Gemara that if you torture a person enough, so he's going to give in to anything that you want. Not that Al-Pidina would be permissible. When they discovered that in Korean War, I think, no? When the Koreans were torturing the American soldiers, they tortured them so long till they said whatever they wanted them to say. So we would interpret the Gemara like that. If they would have used this psychological game against them, they would have tortured them long enough, they would have gotten them to do anything. If you torture a person long enough, so he loses his b'chira chavshis. That's perhaps poshup shat in the Gemara. But the Rishonim couldn't understand such a thing. So the Rishonim said, it seems that it's mutter. If they torture you, then you're allowed to bow down to Avodah Zarah. What kind of business? The din is Yehareg Val Yavar. So Tosfos has a whole pshat. Palchal etzlamo, it wasn't really a tzelem of an Avodah Zarah. It was a statue of the Melech. And everybody was bowing down l'kavod ha-melech. They didn't deify the Melech. And Chanan Mishal Bazaria wanted to give up their life. That was a midas chasidus. Mi'ikar Adin, it wasn't Avodah Zarah. And they wouldn't, if they would have tortured them, then they would have not, if they say, bow down, I'm going to shoot you. So they would do a prava midas chasidus. We're not going to bow down, even though it's not Avodah Zarah. It's only at Lekovet HaMelech. So they were prepared to give up their lives. But if they would torture them, they would probably not be prepared. They would probably not want to suffer like that. That's a shaila. The Rambam says, like you say, whenever the din is that pikuach nefesh is doicha, you're not allowed to be machmir. It's considered suicide. And the Bali HaTosfos and the Ramban disagree. They say you find different gemaras where, as an act of midas chasidus, people did give up their lives on shari surim, even though the din was that pikuach nefesh was really doicha. It does constitute a midas chasidus. That's a big machlokes. The Rambam says, like you, that it's not permissible. Not only Chassid Shaita is Mischai ben Afshoy, because he's causing his own death. And the Balei HaTosfos and the Ramban say, no, that it is permissible. It is permissible, yeah. So there on that Gemara, the Shittim Kubetz has a different answer. The simple reading of the Gemara, the Rishonim read it. If they would have tortured Hanan Mishael Bazaria, so they read, it would have been permissible for them to worship the Tzelem, not just to bow down, to worship Avodah Zarah. So they say, how can it be? But it's Yehorik Val Yamar. So they say, Pikuach Nefesh is not Doche Avodah Zarah, but prolonged torture is worse than Pikuach Nefesh. And you're allowed to worship Avodah Zarah in order to spare yourself from prolonged torture. In the Kasha, Taisus assumed, how can it be? If they would have tortured them, it would have been permissible to worship Avodah Zarah. How can it be? But you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah even for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh. So the Shittim Kubetz says, no, this is worse than Pikuach Nefesh. Prolonged torture is worse. So others say, it's not worse, it's equal to Pikuach Nefesh. It's so painful, prolonged torture. So that's the Shaila. Maybe one, this is the argument, maybe the way the Menchas Chinuch said, that suicide is not the same Chaymeh Ha'Avera. It's an Avera Chamura to commit suicide, but it's not the same as Ritzicha. If I kill someone else, that's Ritzicha. That's a Din Yehorik Val Yavar. You're not allowed to kill someone else even to save your own life. Well, what about to commit suicide, L'shem Pikuach Nefesh? How is that possible? So the answer is, I'm committing suicide to spare myself from prolonged torture. And prolonged torture, perhaps, is the equivalent of Pikuach Nefesh. The Shittim Kubetz said that it's even better than Pikuach Nefesh, that to spare yourself. Okay, right. Let's say the person is going to be suffering for a long time, and he'd rather commit suicide than suffer for so long. So would that be permissible? So the Medrash quoted by the Beis Yosef and the Beit Gabbai said that it's mutter. A person, achiz dimcha nafshesech medrash, achiz amiyud, you're permitted to commit suicide in order to spare yourself for prolonged pain and suffering and agony. So it could be that that's the Bir Hadava. Why is it so? That Pikuach Nefesh is Doiche, this is suicide. And sparing yourself from prolonged pain and agony and suffering is the equivalent of Pikuach Nefesh. Sounds a little humorous.
It was whole style of it. It was back to Kevorkian. It was helping people commit suicide because they had a lot of pain.
Okay.
It's a whole big moral question about that.
Okay, so that's what we're discussing. Exactly. So that's the Machlekes, the Beis Yosef quotes, and Beit Gabbai quotes this Medrash, that to commit suicide is permissible to spare yourself from major suffering later on. And some Achrayim say they don't think we should paskin like that. During the Second World War, many people committed suicide because they knew the Nazis would torture them. So that's a shaila. Is that permissible or not?
Yeah, but talking about the Rebbe B'chaim Vahem, where do you get the other parts? Where'd that come from?
Ach. From this pasuk, ach. Yochel kishol tam leima ach.
But that's the Medrash part of it.
Yeah. So the Medrash is saying that it's a drasha from the pasuk, that number one, this too is the equivalent of Pikuach Nefesh, even though it's not V'chai Bohem. And number two, that suicide is not the Chaymer Ha'iser of Ritzicha, so Pikuach Nefesh would be Doicha suicide. Chidushim, so Shailendi.
So the
problem
at the end of his life, cancer came back, and I wanted a different type of, a stronger type of chemotherapy. And he said, I've done everything I can do. It's supposed to be able to be, and just basically said it's in God's hands and he didn't want to go through it because it was too painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the din is that a person is not a balabos to take his own life. He's not allowed to take your life, but a person is a balabos to determine whether the doctors are doing him a favor or not by extending his life. If he says, I had enough, I don't want it. So if he's making an unreasonable request, so then the Magen Avraham quotes the Tshuva Saradvaz. Let's say a man is 20 years old and he has gangrene in the leg. And the doctors say you have to cut off the leg, otherwise you're going to die. He says, no, I can't imagine living without a leg. They tell him, I'll give you a plastic leg, you'll live another 100 years to the age of 120. We have everything under control, we've done it hundreds of times, we know the whole system, we know how to solve all the problems. So and he says, no, I'd rather die now. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Tshuva Saradvaz that you're not allowed to listen to him because it's an unreasonable request. You would ask 1,000 people, 999 out of 1,000 people would say, let me live on. So when he says is a Narishkeit, he's a lab badans when he says like that. But whenever there's a significant percentage of the population who would say, Shengenuk, I suffered enough, I'm ready, an old man, he's 95 years old, and he suffered and doesn't want to go back to the hospital, let me die in peace. So then you should honor his request. He's not a person, it's not a balabas to take his life. But he is a balabas to determine whether you're doing him a toiva by extending his life. Ramosha has chulas like that. He says, whenever the patient makes a request that's absolutely unreasonable, then you ignore the request. He says, both if he says, I want to die at the age of 20 rather than have them amputate my leg and give me a plastic leg. That's utterly ridiculous. If you interview 1,000 people, age 20, who have gangrene, they say, cut off the leg and give me a plastic leg, I'll live a regular life. Why should I die at the age of 20 if I can function well? So Moshe says the other direction also. Let's say the opposite direction. Let's say a person is suffering painfully and he's going to die. And he requests of the doctors, don't let me die, extend my life, keep on extending my life, and he's just going to suffer more. And he's not going to get out of the blood, he's just going to suffer more. And his pain and suffering is so terrible, if you would interview 1,000 people like that, 999 out of 1,000 would say, let me die already. And this one Meshuggah insists, no, he wants to live on. So Moshe says, you're not allowed to listen to him to extend his life. It's an avera to extend his life. You have to let him die. What's it avera to extend his life? The Moshe says, chevel b'chavero, because he caused him, he's going to live longer, he's going to suffer more. If he would not have extended his life, he would have already died, so he wouldn't have to suffer. So by your extending his life, you're causing him to suffer pain. So that's an avera of chevel b'chavero. So Moshe says, if it's either one direction or the other, 999 out of 1,000 people would say, let me live on. And this Meshuggah says, I'd rather die at the age of 20 than have them amputate the leg and give me a plastic. You're not allowed to listen to him there. It's Bikuach Nefesh. What he's saying is Dvarim B'Teilim. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But even in the opposite direction, 999 out of 1,000 people will say, let me die already. And this patient insists he wants to live on, but he's suffering so much. And Moshe says, also, Batla Daita, he's saying Dvarim B'Teilim. You're not allowed to listen to him. You have to see to it. You have to let him die. You're not allowed to extend his life. But if he's making a request that's reasonable.
In a bad condition, he wants him to die. Why he should not keep on the doctors trying and maybe the Rabban Shalom healing them?
In Achinami, but if he's suffering. Shaz, what if he's suffering?
But you have to hope that there's come a day, Rabban Shalom. I can tell him myself, I was all seeking concentration camps. They didn't have doctors over there to heal.
Baruch Hashem? Okay.
No,
but sometimes you have, this is very common, Shaila. Let's say something, a person is 98 years old and they have to go, the doctors want to take him back to the hospital to do some procedure. And the Chayla says, do me a favor, leave me alone. I went through enough. I don't want to be in the hospital anymore. I don't enjoy it. I don't want it. I already saw the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, showing, he wants to die. He has no cheshik to continue living and to suffer so much. So if it's only one Meshuggah out of 1,000 says like that, so you have to disregard it. You're not allowed to listen to what he says. But if it's a significant percentage of the population would make that choice, and the different generations, people have different attitudes. So then you can't say that it's a narishkeit what the patient is saying. And Moshe quotes a Loshon and the Gemara in Yuma. Man Yuma has a lashon. Let's say a chayla on Yom Kippur, so the doctors say he has to eat in order to save his life, and he says no, he wants to fast. So the Gemara says he doesn't know what he's talking about, and we have to insist that he should eat. Or other similar cases. Ramosha says that's a klal in the Gemara. If the person is making an absolutely unreasonable request, then you don't listen to that. But if it's a reasonable request, then you have to honor the request. We're not allowed to kill the patient.
You know, my sister who died, I see you when he was on his deathbed, also the verbatim of praying that he should stay alive. My sister's just going to,
And the Shivcha told them they should stop saying Tillim. So the Ran says, the Gemara tells the Ran in the Dorm, Daf Mem, says the Gemara in the end of Ksubas tells the whole story to teach you that that's the din. That sometimes you're not supposed to daven the patient should continue to live. Sometimes it's preferable to daven the patient should die. That's what the Ran says. And Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ran. Sometimes it's a mitzvah to daven that the patient should die. They have one of their, Abchaim Falaji has a lot of tshuvas. In one of his tshuvas he has such a story that a woman was deathly sick, she was suffering, and the husband asked, is it okay if he davens that she should die? So Abchaim Falaji said, the husband should not daven, the wife should die, because the children will never forgive him for that. But I can daven that she should die. The Rabbanim should daven, but not the husband. That looks terrible to the husband. But the Mikra Din, that's the Din. He quotes the Rana the Dom, that's the Din. They have after the Chazanish passed away, So they published a collection of letters, Koibes Igres Chazanish, three little volumes of a collection of letters. So the Chazanish had a beautiful style of Hebrew. He had his own style of Hebrew. He invented his own style of writing Hebrew. So even he writes about the Medina, he was very opposed to the Medina, even if you don't agree with what he says, but the style that he writes it in is beautiful. The way he writes Hebrew is beautiful. So after his brother-in-law passed away, after the stipler passed away, so they also published a collection of letters of the stipler. The stipler's style was not like the Chazon Ish's style. Very rough, not so fancy, very rough style of Hebrew. So in the collection of letters, usually it's Eitzes for Shiduchim, and Eitzes for which yeshiva to go through, and Eitzes in life. Hardly has any Shadas and Halacha. So there's one letter in this Sefer Krina de Igarta where they ask the stipler, what does he say about treating patients, terminally ill patients? Are you always mukhlif to extend life or not? So he writes back, as little children, it was ingrained within our minds that the Jewish position always is that you push on to extend life as much as possible. Then says we got a little older and we started to learn Gemara, and we saw the Ran and the Dorim and Daf Net Mamad Aleph. The Ran quotes the Gemara on the end of Ksubis, that when Rebbe was on his deathbed and the Bochum and Yeshiva were davening, saying Tilim, he should live on. So the Amsa the Bay Rebbe, his maid servant, made a noise and she sent a message they should stop davening. And the Ran says the Gemara quotes the story to indicate that that's the halacha, and it says in Shulchan Aruch like that. He says, and sometimes you're even allowed to hasten the death of the patient. The Ramah has in cases in the end of Yeridah. So he doesn't tell you what the din is, he doesn't give you a maskana, just says what we were taught as children is not correct. We don't always push on to extend. What's the klal? So he says you have to ask him. He wrote Pilpulim Agamaris. He didn't write Shuvas Halacha Lamais. That's Rav Moshe has in his Shuvas, that if a significant percentage of the population would choose not to push on to live longer, so that's a reasonable request. So then you have to honor the request of the patient. You can't honor the request to kill a patient. That's Ritzicha. But he says, you're not doing me a favor by extending my life. So then Nish, so you don't extend his life. So you let him die.
That'll be an issue also,
no? Right, right. If you know that, that's what the patient would have wanted. The patient always used to say for years, what are Rachmanis? Why don't they let this guy die already in peace? What are they, mucho istabena? So when that patient, we know what his attitude is. So when that patient is holding by the end, so then it would be reasonable the family should sign a DNR if they think that they're holding by that. Sometimes the doctors want a DNR, not so sick. But if they know that this patient is sick, the way he himself used to shuts up situations, and his attitude always would be, let the poor man die in peace. So then we should allow him to die in peace. We know that that's what he would have wanted. So that's a story with Shaul, that Shaul committed suicide by using the sword. Avshalom b'sayro ki debina lemei melekamon. Avshalom had very long hair. Yeah, later on the Shamas came to David HaMelech and he was bragging that he was the Ger HaMaleki. He said, I'm a Ger HaMaleki and I killed Shaul HaMelech. He thought David HaMelech is going to be very happy that he killed Shaul HaMelech. So he said, you shegetz, you killed Shaul HaMelech. So he killed him. So that's a shot. Did he kill him because he was a ger? Because he was an Amaleki? Did he kill him because he was an Amaleki? Eimu kabim ger mi Amalek? Or did he kill him because he said he killed Shaul HaMelech? Shaul HaMelech says in the pasuk that he committed suicide. So this guy was bragging that he asked me to kill him and I did kill him. You're not allowed to do mercy killing. That's usur. Suicide, the Beis Yosef quotes the Medrash, is mutter, in order to save oneself from extreme pain and suffering. But to do mercy killing, that's not allowed. That's not permissible. That's Rabban Soloveitchik. Oh, he's just the quote in the Sefer Aksava Kabbalah on Parshas Noyach. So he says, how do we know that you're not allowed to do euthanasia, mercy killing? It's never charachmanis. The man is suffering so much. And maybe there's no isa lor sirtzach. So he suggests that it's based on the Loshon HaPasuk. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish one who takes the life miyad ish ochiv. What do you mean, miyad ish ochiv? If a person kills his brother, usually ish ochiv means a brother whom he loves. So why is he killing a brother whom he loves? So he says it means he's killing him out of rachmanis. The brother is dying and he's suffering a lot, and I want to kill him. Miyadi shochiv, out of rachmanus, I want to kill him. So the pasuk says, Yechayiv misa, Kodesh Boch will punish you if you kill ishochiv. Rabban Salvation was fond of quoting that Ksava Kabbalah, and Ksava Kabbalah was a Talmud of Rabbi Kivege. So he thinks that that's the mocker for euthanasia being prohibited.
How could David, according to the opinion that David killed him because he was a ger amaleki, how could he kill him? I mean, once he's a ger, he's already Jewish.
There's a mechilta that says Eim kabban ger mi amalek. So that's the question. Is that authentic? Is that Takad Adin? The Gemara never says like that. The Rambam never quotes that din. So the Rambam says that David HaMelech killed him because he killed Shaul HaMelech. That's based on his own admission of guilt. David didn't have any witnesses who saw that he killed him. So the Rambam said, and usually there's a din, Ein Onim Nereg Al Pi Eidus Atzmo. So how could David HaMelech kill the one who admitted killing Shaul? So the Rambam says, Lo Harasha the Migda Milsa, the king, the Melech has a right to give a death penalty to a person, even Shaloi Al Pi Din. Lohi Rasha. So since he admitted killing Shaul, so David HaMelech thought Lohi Rasha, he has to kill him. And others say, not like the Rambam. Rambam says he killed him because he killed Shaul. Others say, no, because Eim Kam Ger Mi Amalek. So he killed him because he was an Amaleki, not because he killed Shaul.
So let's say he didn't tell the Beis Yisrael Amalek, and they converted him. So the Geirus would not be followed.
That's what some learn pshat in that Mechilta. Eim Kam Ger Mi Amalek means that it's simply not Chal. Some of they intermarried with a Jewish girl, and then their children were Jewish. Mistama, if both parents are goyim, so bumas halacha harazocher. Let's say the father is an Amaleki and the mother is a Frenchy, or the mother is a Spanish, or the mother is Puerto Rican, whatever. So a different nationality. So the nationality of the children, when it's a mixed marriage and both parents are not Jewish, so the Gemara has the cloud, the unkedushim, bumas halacha harazocher. So if the father is an Amaleki, all the children would be Amaleki. But let's say the father is an Amaleki and he marries a Jewish girl. He marries a Jewish girl. So then the children are going to be Jewish. You don't say, Bumas Allah Achar Azocha. The child is not labeled as an Amaleki. Al Pidin is not related to the father. The child is Jewish because the mother is Jewish and the father is an Achri. So there's no Kurva at all.
Kedush,
not Typhus. No, Kedush, not Typhus. Nachri, no. He's living, let's say, an Amaleki will be living with a Jewish girl.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says Absalom had flowing long hair. The Gemara says in Temura Absalom was an Azir, so that's it. He was an Azir Olam, so he had very long hair. And then the Gemara says Kedibin lemeim lekamo. The Gemara is going to discuss it, the way he got caught, the hair got caught in the branches of the tree, and then they threw the spears and they killed him. Tzidkio Bein of Dichsiv, we don't know where it says that Tzidkio had good looking eyes. That's where Rashi is. We don't know where it says it, but we know where it says that he was punished with the eyes. We say Tzidkio Iver, the Goyim blinded him. The Goyim blinded him. There's a medrash that says that it was 15 generations from Avram Avinu until Shlomo HaMelech, like the moon, takes 15 days till you have a full moon. And then, so in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, he was king over all of Eretz. It was peaceful, there were money, everybody had more than enough money, that was the peak, that was a full moon. And then starting from the generation of Shlomo HaMelech, everything started going downhill until the days of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. That was another 15 generations. And then the moon disappears. The moon keeps on getting smaller, 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 until it disappears. So that's represented by any Tzidkiyahu Iver. He was blinded, so he can't see at all, just like we can't see the moon. Then the Jewish people are like Shem Asidim Chadish Kamoisa. The Jewish people are like the Levana, that after we disappear, we disappeared from the scene for a long time. So then we're going to reappear. We're going to have the Malchus Beis David, and we're going to come back again. So that's a medrash. That's a medrash of Shmois Rabba on the pasuk Achodesh Hazalachem, that the Jewish people count to the moon. And the going count to the sun. So the Medrash gives this moshul with the moon, the 15 generations corresponding to the 15 days of the month, and then the next 15 generations when the moon is disappearing. So So the Gemara says that they blinded Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. Asa Biragla, we don't know where it says he had such good looking legs, whatever that means, but we see in Tanakh that he was punished for the legs. Dichsich. Rakla Esik Nasa, when he was an old man, Cholas Ragla, we had trouble with his legs. What trouble did he have? Amarav Yura Marav, Shahuzasa Podgora. He had the gout. That's the Latin word, I think, for gout, is Podgora. Rashi says, in the Goyisha books, it's called Podgora. I think they still call it today. Gout, they still call today Podgora. So the Gemara says, what does it feel like? What's the sensation? The son asked his father, Hechidami Podgora, what's the sense? What does it feel like? So he says, it feels like a machat bibsarachai. It feels as if you have needles sticking into your leg all the time. So the Gemara asks, how did he know? How did Rab Nachman know what the sensation is? Vegmam no yoda. The Gemara has three suggestions. Ika the army, one version, has mechash avachashbe. Rab Nachman himself had Podgora. So he knew how to describe what it was. Ika the army, Mirabi Shmili, had a tradition from his Rebbe what gout feels like. And Ika the army, and the third version is. Zayda Hashem Lireyo. Das, yeah. Das Torah. He figured it out as well. He figured out Ruach HaKodesh, and he figured out what all the sicknesses are. Zayda Hashem Lireyo, Revisa Ladim. Baruch Shalom reveals all the secrets of the world to the Talmid HaChachon. Sometimes. Dora Shiravim, if they man, Nenashasa. Why was he? What Avera did he do in Tanakh? What Avera did also do that he was punished, that he had this gout, the trouble with his legs? The Gemara, Nenashasa, Angariya, but Talmid HaChachonim. And made the Talmid HaChachamim work for him also. And that's a Bizayin HaTorah. Shenema, V'Hamelech Osa, Hishmiya, is called Yehuda Einoki. He made everybody work for him to build his palace, to build his castle, whatever. And nobody was exempted. Ma Einoki, what does it mean? Amar Avyuna Merav, it means, Apidu Chosa, Nechad Revikala Michupasa. It says on the side, V'Kol Shkein Talmid HaChachamim, nobody was exempted. And that's not right. You're not allowed to be Oisa Angaria, the Talmid HaChachamim. Not allowed to take Talmid HaChachamim and make them work for you.
It was a work study program.
Yes.
Why did it affect his legs? Why against the legs?
So because the Rebbe Shalom gave him beautiful legs, very healthy legs. Maybe he was a good runner or something. So the Gemara says these five people had main dugma shamayla, that unusual, well above average eyes, legs, hair, whatever it was, and then they sinned and they deserved the punishment. So they were punished in that area where they were given the unusual, where they excelled.
Did they don't let the people come to have advice or something?
That's what it means. Not that the eyes were so good looking, they had supervision. Okay. Now the Gemara goes back to discussing about Shimshon. So the Gemara says there seems to be a contradiction between two psukim. When you want to go to the city Timnos, do you have to climb up a mountain? Do you go down a mountain? Ksiv, on the one hand, it says, in Shoftim Vayerit Shimshon Timnasa, he went down. Sounds like Timnas is in the valley. Ksiv, there's a Pasuk in Bereishis, Vina Micha Choyle, Oylep Timnasa. Your father-in-law Yehuda was the father-in-law of Tamar. He's going up to Timnas. Sounds like Timnas on top of the mountain. So which is it? So Rashi says, we know that Aliyah, when you go to Eretz, it's called Aliyah. When you go to Chutz Lortz, it's called the Yorei. So Rashi says, they're simple Teretz. Vayal means he was going from Chutz Lortz. Vayered would make sense if no, but Timnas is in Eretz Yisrael, so you can't say Vayered. And Vayal also does, he wasn't coming from Chutz Loretz. The Chumash says Vayered Yachi Yosef Asora. When they're going from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, says Vayeredu. When they're going back to Eretz Yisrael, says Vayala. But Rashi says here everything is in Eretz Yisrael. The city Timnas in Eretz Yisrael, and all the biblical characters here, Yehuda and Shimshon, everybody's in Eretz Yisrael. How come here it says Vayal and here it says Vayered? And for the Gemara, Amar Ablozar, Shimshon is Ganabo. Shimshon did an Avera in Timnas, so he had a Yerida. For him, it was a downfall. Sibbe Yerida. Yehuda Shin is Alabo. Yehuda did wonderful things. He got married and had children and so on. Sibbe Aliyah. That's his teretz. That Vayal Vayera doesn't mean up on top of the mountain in the valley. It means he had an Aliyah, he had a Yerida in his biography, in his life. Shulman Achmeni Amar, two different cities. Shtei Timnah saw you. Two different locations. Chad the Birida, Chad the Baliya. One is on top of the mountain, one is in the valley. Two different locations. Papa Amar, nah, it's not two different cities. Chana Timnah Havo, it's one city. But it's on the side of the mountain. So whoever's on a lower elevation has to go up. Whoever's on a higher elevation has to go down. It depends where you're coming from. Chad the Timnah Havo, it's one city. If you go from this area, go down. Kigon, and they had in Bovel locations like that. Vardonia Ubeberi, Vishuka de Naraj, different locations. And if you go from one city, you have to go up. If you go from the other city, you go down. It's in the middle of the mountains. Now the Gemara goes back to the Pasuk. That's when Tamar was married to the first son of Yehuda, and he died. And then she married the second son, Bayas Kamhu Harabi Hashem. He also did an Aver. First son died, apparently, he did an Aver. The second son died, he did an Aver. So Yehuda was afraid to let her marry the third son, Shelah. He was afraid to let her, he's also going to die. Whoever she marries is going to die. So Yehuda said, Shelah's a little boy. When he grows up, I'll give him to you. You'll marry Shelah. And then he never completed it. So when she heard, when she realized that he's not going to let her marry the third son, so it says that she disguised herself. She dressed up like a prostitute. What does it mean? What do the words mean? And she said, "Bepesach einayim." Is that that's a location? That location is called Pesach einayim. So the Gemara has different suggestions. She went the location where the Jewish people lived in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Pesach Einayim, near the door of the Jewish people. Makom Shekol Einayim Tzofos Liroso. Everybody wanted to go visit Avraham Avinu. The ganze Welt knew Avraham Avinu was a holy tzaddik, and everybody wanted to go visit by him to see the Hachnas Sarchem, to see the Tzidkis and the Priestess and Kedusha and so on. That's what he means. Vatesha bePesach Einayim, she was chalishing to marry into the family. She lost the first husband, second husband. She wanted to marry a Jewish boy, the third brother, Shelah. So Vatesha bePesach Einayim, she disguised herself and she wanted to get married into the Jewish people. It's a melitza. It's not the name of a location. Rab Chanan Amar Rav, no Malkam Ushishma Einayim. It's a pasuk in Yeshua. Tapuch v'ha'inam. Pesach Einayim means near the location, near the city. Einam or Einayim, sure, it doesn't mean Pesach Einayim. She wanted to join the Jewish nation by marrying the third son of Yehuda. It does mean that. Yeah. So therefore what?
She wasn't
a non-Jewish woman. She converted, yeah. She was a Goya, but she converted. The Pasuk says she wasn't Jewish, no? The Pasuk says she wasn't Jewish, but then she converted in order to marry the son of Yehuda. Basish Kanani, no? Nikach Basish Kanani. Okay, yeah. Ah, that wasn't her. Uh-huh. Gemara is going to say she says she's a Giyaris. Gemara says the next line.
Tamar?
Tamar, yeah.
I thought she was supposed to be a Bas Kohen.
Shame was like a Kohen, not a Kohen. There were no Kohen by the Jewish people till later. Her father was a prominent figure, a Rosh Yeshiva, the Yeshiva Shem
Yehavia. But given strength,
this is a Misa Fasol. Yeah. Don't know. So the Gemara has three suggestions. How do you translate the Pesach Einayim? So the first suggestion is that she was pushing herself to marry into the Jewish people again. The second suggestion is no, it's the name of the location. And the third suggestion is Rab Shmuel ben Nachman Omar Shenasne Einayim LiDvareha Kishetovo. When Yehuda was propositioning her and he wanted to be mezana with her, so Yehuda wants to make sure that he's not going to be having an affair with a Nachris. So he asked her all the questions and she gave all the right answers. Atesha bePesach Einayim she gave all the right answers to every question. Omar Lo said the Gemara records. The first question was, he says, are you Jewish? So are you a Goya? Are you, if you're not Jewish, I can't have an affair with a non-Jewish prostitute. It has to be a Jewish prostitute. She said, yeah, I'm a Giyaris. I'm Jewish. Shemen Achrisad Zaktanein. Zaktanein Giyaris Ani. I convert. Then the next question, he says, Shemen Eshishishat. Maybe you're married. Not allowed to be a mezana with an Eshishish. I'm a Pnuyani. I'm single. Then she said, then a Yehuda asked, Hashem kibul avich kiddushin, maybe your father married you off. So she says, no, Omer Yisemani, my father died a long time ago. My father was not mekabel kiddushin. Here the Mefarshim asked the question, if she says I'm a Giyuris, so Gershon has got cut in Shanella Dhamma, so even if her father's still alive, she's not related to the father. So what do you mean Yehuda asked her, if she says she's a Giyuris, how can he ask Hashem kibul avich kiddushin? So on the bottom of the Ein Yankif, they have by the author of the Chok Yankif, Chok Yankif on Hilchas Pesach, that's printed on the bottom of the page, he wrote the Tshuvah Shev Yankif. The Tshuvah Shvus Yankif is someone else in Tshuvah Shev Yankif. So he has a running commentary, this Chok Yankif has a running commentary on the Ein Yankif, on all the Agadatas. He always kvetches us what the halacha is here. He usually doesn't make a comment on the Agadatah. He doesn't give any agadic comments. He only has halachic comments. Whenever there's some halachic issue, he'll always raise the issue. So he raises the issue over here. So he says, from this gemara, Zetman Fandan, that even though Gershon is cut in Shanella Dami, but the non-Jewish father can still be Makabal Kedushin for the daughter who converted. That's wild. That's wild. How can you say such a thing? He asked the question, and then he says, you see from the gemara, that yes, but it doesn't make any sense. How can it be? The non-Jewish father came in the Kabbalah Kedushin for his daughter who's younger than 12 or younger than 12 and a half who converted. How can that be? Al Pidin, she's not related to the father.
Conversion is not the same as conversion that we understand today halakhically. It has to be some sort of different Gioris.
The Medrash says, "A nefesh asher osa b'chorin Avram megayeris anosh and misdor megayeris anosh." And the Medrash says there was some kind of conversion. What were they converting to? They didn't have 613 mitzvahs. Their conversion was monotheism. Avraham Avinu was preaching on Nefesh HaShem HaHani, he was preaching monotheism, and those who were prepared to accept it would be Gerim. The Gemara seems to assume they went to the mikveh. The Gemara in Yavama seems to assume from the days of Avraham Avinu, when there would be Megayra and Anjou, they would go to mikveh. So she says she was a Gioris.
How did she convert if she's under 12?
Also, the Rambam has an interesting statement. The Rambam says the din that a girl is a ketana till the age of Yud Beis Shonavi Amechud and Shtei Cyrus, and the boy is a cotton a labardas till the age of Yud Gimel Shonavi Amechud and Shtei Cyrus. That's only by Jews. That's halacha Moshe Messina by Bnei Noach, by Nochrim. So as long as the child is intelligent enough to understand what he's doing. So even if he's even if the girl is younger than 12, that's called a bazdas. And even if the boy is younger than 13, the shiurim chatzitz and mechitzan halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Rambam says included in shiurim is yud gimel shana v'yamechon yud bei shana v'yamechon. This is only for Yisrael. For umas olam there is no shiurim halacha l'moshe misinai. So if the nochri is intelligent enough, see we have a din ger katam ad bilamoso adaz bezn. If a Jewish couple wants to adopt a non-Jewish infant, the mom is a little infant, so he can't discuss with the infant Kabbalah on mitzvahs. He's 1 month old, he's 1 week old. He doesn't know what you're talking about. So we have the ability to be Megayer, a little infant, based on the principle of Zachon Yadam Shleibafon. So we don't talk to the infant, we talk to the adoptive parents, and we say, do you plan to raise the child as an observant Jew? You're going to give him a Torah education, yeshiva education, you're going to be Shem Shabbos, and Kashrus and Almashah, and then if it looks like it's a Zchus, so we say Zachalam Shalafan and we convert the child. What if it's a little girl who's 10 years old? She understands what Kashrus and Shabbos is all about. She may not know yet what Taras HaMishpacha is, but she knows what she's living. Let's say she's brought up by a religious couple a couple of months, and then they want to convert her. So it's a shaila: should the bezin talk to the mother, or should the bezin talk to the girl? So according to the Rambam, the bezin should talk to the girl. Because the girl is a nachris, and by nachrim there is no shir of yud bei shana v'yamechud. If you're talking about an infant, then the Gemara says ger kotnan is an infant. Matbilim also adas bez, and you talk to the parents to make sure that it's a schuz. But if the child is already holding 10 years old, 11 years old, they're intelligent enough to understand this kabbalas on mitzvahs. So then, according to that Rambam, the Rambam is in Hilchas Malachim when he quotes all the dinim of bnei noach that the shir of yud gimel shana v'yamechud, yud bei shana v'yamechud. Only applies to Jews. Yeah.
Rambam, the girl or boy would ever have a choice when they turn bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah to accept or reject?
No, that's only when we did it, but Terez Zachin, so then, Higdili Yicholim Limchais, whenever you do, let's say I want to give a gift to someone who is not here, so I give the gift to somebody who is here, and he's kind of the matan on behalf of the other party. Then the other person finds out that Shechta gave matan. I don't want to owe any debt of gratitude to Shechta. I don't want the matan. So if he says no, if tzavak metchil batzav, his instinctive reaction is I don't want the gift. So he break up the zochen li adam shalai b'fanu. So that's whenever you do a ger katma the bin l'mosa das best is based on zochen. When the child comes of age and he finds out that they did him a toivah, so he has the right to turn it down and say I don't want the toivah. But here, if the child is already 10, 11 years old, and the Rambam says that's enough of a bar seichel, then it's not based on zochin. Then he himself was mekabel al mitzvahs, but then he can't be meichel later on.
Is it possible that Yehuda was testing her, since she was giving him the right answers, so he was continuing to see whether she...
So apparently he wanted to be with the prostitute, but that was Kodem Matan Torah. The Rambam writes that was Mutta. The Rambam beginning of Hilchos Ishus. Kodem Matan Torah, Hayon Pegei Isha Bashuk, and he wants to be Mizan as Mutta. It's not recommended, it's not Derech Eretz, but it was Mutta, so Yehuda did it. But he wasn't going to violate and not write Avera. So he asked her a list of questions. Shema Nochesh, she says, no, whole checklist. She says she's a girl. Shema Eshesish, Shema Kibbutz Bavitri.
Right,
yeah, he's giving all the right answers.
That's why he asked.
And he says, Shema Tameyat, maybe you're a Nida, Zakzi Tahoirani. So that's called Bateisha B'Pesach Einayim. Bateisha is Batoshav. She responded. Not that she sat in a location, Pesach Einayim. She responded all the right answers. Shenosna Einayim Lidvara.
What does Rashi say?
Let's see. Yisoma Ani V'Yisik Tanav V'Yisiyuni Imi Bech. I don't know what Rashi has a whole story here. Yeah. I don't know. Oh. If she was the Yisayma, how did she get married in the first place? She married the first two sons of Yehuda. So he says, yeah, that's a Kiddushin de Rabbanan, that the mother and the brothers can marry her off. Menatar, only the father can marry off a daughter. And the Rabbanan, the mother and the brothers can marry her off. But she says, and if my mother and my brothers married me off to someone else, I don't want it. She has the right, the girl has the right to be Miyun. It's called Miyun. When the mother or the brothers marry the girl off when she's a ktano, so she can always say, I don't want the marriage, and it breaks it up. You can't be memayin after 12. Anytime before 12, you can be memayin. So Rashi is asking Akasha, what do you mean? If she was a young girl, and she has no father, so she can't be an Eshesish. How did she get married to the first two sons of Yehuda? So he says, they had that din de Rabbanan already then. The Mishnah sounds like it's a Takana de Rabbana that was instituted in a later generation. The Rashi says they had the din de Rabbana then, and her mother and her brothers married her off. And now she says, I'm not married. And even if my mother and my brothers marry you off, I don't get a greet. I'm a mine. I don't want the marriage.
And if her father had married her off the heir, and she's a Yisrael B'chayyav.
Also. So it would also be she's free. If the father died, once the father dies, so he's out of the picture.
Even if he's not, but he can't marry off.
I mean, if he already had Nisuin. If he already had Nisuin, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. I always thought that this whole story that Yehuda didn't have Bafira, and Bafira was taken away from him. But it seems like he's asking, lots of questions. I mean, that he's completely realizing what he's doing.
There's a medrash like that. How can it be that Yehuda is such a tzaddik? How can it be that he sinned over here? So the medrash says that the malach who's mamuna on the taiva grabbed hold of him and he suspended his bechira chavshus. What does that mean? I'm not sure exactly what that means. Problematic medrash.
Rashi says also that she
wasn't
the daughter of Shem.
Couldn't be. Rashi explained based on the years, it's impossible. Yeah, usually assume Bita Shal Shem means she was a descendant of Shem. Well, wasn't the daughter of Shem. She was a descendant of Shem. In this week's Sedra in Parsha Shmini, they have the dinim of kosher animals and non kosher animals, kashrus, and then it has also the laws of Tumas. Nivlas behema. When a human being dies, we call that tumas meis. When a behema dies, we call it tumas nevela. So the pasuk says that binivlasam b'sorim lo sechelu. You're not allowed to eat the flesh of the non kosher animals, even if you shecht it. Shechita is not chala on a non kosher animal. Uvinivlasam lo sigo, and you're not allowed to touch the nevela of a non kosher animal. What kind of a din is that? Bin v'losim loisi go. You're not allowed to touch the nevela. Even a kohen who's not allowed to be metami to a mace, a human mace, is not prohibited from being metami to, let's say they're in high school and they dissect the dead mouse or whatever. So there's no issa. The kohen is not prohibited from being metami to a nivlas behem. Is only prohibited from being metami to nefesh adam. So what do you mean bin v'losim loisi go? There is no
even
such halacha.
Even to a kerif.
Even
a dog.
Yeah. His mutter. Yes. His mutter. So how does the pasuk say, "Bin evlasim lo sigol"? There is no. Even a kohen is permitted to be mitami to a dead kelev. How can the pasuk say no one's allowed to be mitami? So the gemara says in Rosh Hashanah it goes beregel. Chai vadam tarats beregel. This is the marker of the din that everybody is mechuyev to go to the mikveh the kovid yontif. What is it all about? So the Shagasari has a whole tshuva. Where he says, Avada ye mechuyev to, an shalosh regalim, ye mechuyev to visit the Azor, an shalosh regalim. So of course you have to go to mikveh and events. If you're going to be Tomei, you won't be able to enter the Azor. A Tomei can't enter the Azor. But a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's no aliyah leregel. So there's no din chai bottom tairats mebregel. Bizman azeb, bizman shein beis amigdush kayim. Man tchar shmei, how can it be a din of chai bottom tairats mebregel? He says, the Rambam quotes all the din of chai bottom tairats mebregel. He doesn't write it in Hilchas Yontav, he writes it in the dinim of entering the Beis Hamikdash. Obviously it's connected with going into the Beis Hamikdash. So he, the Shagasai, writes this tshuva in disagreement with the Rosh in the end of Maseches Yuma. Rosh in the end of Yuma quotes from the Rabbeinu Sadigon that an Erev Yom Kippur, everybody should go to mikveh and say the bracha Shekhisham says the son of Allah Tfilo. What's the mitzvah that you're performing that you go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur? So the Rosh understood, or misunderstood, whatever, the Rosh understood the Rav Sadi going, that Chai Vonam Tarats Meregel applies even Bizman Azeh, even on Yom Kippur. So that's what the Shagazari is disagreeing. How can it be? It only applies to Shalosh Yolam and Zechiv Aliyah Leregel. It only applies Bizman Shah Beis Amigdash Haikaim. Doesn't apply Bizman Azeh. So the others apparently understood that it's not only because of Aliyah Leregel. They understood some Kabbalistic concept that in order to absorb fully the Kedusha Sayyam of Yantiv, the person has to be Tohar. Why don't you say you have to Chai Vodam Tairats but Bishabbosis? Why don't you say you have to go to Mikveh on every Arab Shabbos? I'm Chassidim. Do go to Mikveh every Arab Shabbos. But this doesn't say in the Gemara. So Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes the Svarim, the Kabbalah Svarim, they say no, the Kedusha Sayyam of Shabbos is so powerful, it will affect you even if you're Tomei. But the Kedusha Sayyam of Yantiv is weaker. It's not as powerful as Kedusha Sayyam of Shabbos. So then it'll only get you, the Kedusha Sayyam of Yantiv will only have an effect on you if you're in a state of Tahara. So that's, they hold that it even applies Bizman Azeh, even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And the Pashtus is like the Shagasar. You have on the last page in the Mishnah Brura, Volume Hay, Chelukei has all the Dinim of Yantiv and all the Dinim of Pesach and Sfira Sayyamah. So the last page is about Simchas Yantiv. So on the very last page, the Shari Tshuva next to the Beheta quotes this whole hullabaloo, this whole discussion. That the Shagazai says the whole thing has no application in Bizman Azeh. The Pashto says like the Shagazai. The Achreidim say that the Pshat and Rav Sadi going is only Erev Yom Kippur. If Ne'er Shem Tataru, he understood that you have to go to Mikveh. Yeah, doesn't mean that even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur it's Kol Shekein Shel Shgamah. Only Erev Yom Kippur. Right. We have a minyan. Everybody should get down. Schrieb das Geld.